So we've been having a real blast here with Hanukkah. I'm enjoying it tremendously. I hope you are too. And we found today a Sfas Emes. Now again, I hope you might find it in your pages. What it'll say on the top is, again, I don't know where it's at, since you might not find this.
I will share then,
so you'll share. So it'll say on top, Otsar Iyunim. Okay. Otsar Iyunim. I have it blown up for my purposes. And it'll say on the top left, Lamed Al. Okay then?
This is a new sheet?
No, these are sheets that I've been giving out over the course of time. But trust me, Rabbi Kapustin, even if you don't see it inside, you'll be able to follow it in a sense. It's really a one line, shall I say. By the way, I've been asked to make the following public announcement that this Thursday night we're having a Masechtathon, which means that we're divvying up all the Masechta Shabbos. And if you could join, then what you do is you make a commitment to learn one daf with a Kavrusa. I think it starts at 8:30, if I'm not mistaken, on Thursday night. So you'll get more details if you want. Imagine, we need 160 Kavrusas, so it's going to be a major event. What do you say, Sam?
I said it's not here.
Not here. No.
Not this room?
No. I wait till the day that, well, I'm so new that we won't be able to have the shiur in this room. You'll be hanging from the chandeliers, as they say. So, Rabosai, this is really fascinating. The Sfas Emes comes to a conclusion which is counterintuitive. What do I mean? In all the Achronim before the Sfas Emes, you see how original the thinker he was. And this you'll see, for example, in the Ksav Sofer, in a paragraph that starts Ulam on the right column, for those who want to see it inside. The assumption was that Kavsa Ein Zakek La applies according to everyone, even if you normally would hold Kavsa Zakek La. But Medvar Amurim, says the Ksav Sofer, that's only a chumrah with regard to the single ner that you need to fulfill the basic mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, which is called Ner Yishu Beso. But as far as the Mahadran is concerned, there's no din of Kavsa Zakakla, even if you hold Kavsa Zakakla. Meaning, everybody would agree that if one of the Hindur Neros goes out, says the Ksav Sofer, we're not going to be machmir and come up with a requirement to have to rekindle the light. The entire thrust of Kavsa Zakek La is only with regard to the Ikar Ner. Comes along the Sfas Emes with the opposite Sfara, from one polar extreme to the other. I'll read it to you, just a line that's relevant to us. He says the following, with regard to the Ikar Mitzvah, Niskaima Mitzvah Kfar Bad Laka Rishona. Hence, Kavsa Ein Zakek La. In other words, all you need is a Maisad Laka, which you already did. Now the candle extinguished, you don't have to rekindle it. Why? Because the mitzvah is over. Masha Enken, he says, with regard to the Hidur mitzvah, he says, the Hidur mitzvah, Yesh Kium B'chazora V'had Laka, he says that there's a Kium mitzvah to rekindle the Hidur mitzvah, and therefore, kuli amalo pligi that kavsa zakikla. So let's just summarize. If you belong to the Sofer family, because someone here in the room's wife belongs to that family, so according to the Sofer family, it comes out that kavsa is only an issue with regard to the ikar ner, because the ikar ner is so fundamental. And therefore we hold that kavsa may be zakikla, and that's one man liomar. With regard to the Hidur mitzvah, which is only an embellishment, and certainly it's secondary, there's no need, if the light goes out, to rekindle the light. And everybody would agree that Kavsa Ein Zakakla in the case of Hidur mitzvah. That's if you belong to the Ksav Sofer, the Ksav Sofer. But if, on the other hand, you hold like the Sfas Emes says just the opposite. With regard to the first ner, the mitzvah is hadlaka. Shekichanu mitzvosim tzivana lahadlik ner. You lit the candle, that's it. You fulfill the mitzvah. It's a zakakla. But with regard to the Hidur mitzvah, He says, Kuli Alma, everybody would agree, says the Sfas Emes, that there's going to be a Kiyum HaMitzvah Kishachozer Umadliko, when he goes ahead and lights it again. Now, if we take the Sfas Emes and place it into our framework, which we've been working with for now a few days, how do you define the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Is it Maisa Adlok or is it Ner Doluk? Then the Sfas Emes is operating with the following. Is it Maisa Adlok or is it Ner Doluk? The answer is depends. If you're talking about the Ikra Mitzvah, then it's what? The Maisa Adlok. If you're talking about the Hiner Mitzvah, it's a Ner Doluk. And the Sfas Emes doesn't give us any logical reason as to why, what compelled them to come to such a strange conclusion, which is antithetical to everything that came before the Sfas Emes. But Rav Osai, what would be the compelling logic to say that with regard to the Hidur Mitzvah, Dafka we're going to hold Ner Doluk and Kof Sazaka Club, Rabbi?
You have two people, you have a Master and a Kiyum.
And why in Hidur Mitzvah is it so important, Kof Sazaka Club, to establish an Ner Doluk? Jeff? Because who's the target here? Who's our goal? What's our goal? Our goal group, our goal audience. Right, it's the Hekera for the B'nai Rishus Saramin. So if that's the whole purpose of the Hider Mitzvah, it's not enough to just do a Maisad Loka and get ended. It's over after a second because the wind blew it out. You want the ongoing lighting of the Ner Chanukah. So therefore, even if I hold Kofsa Ein Zokhe Klo, that's only because the Iker Mitzvah, which is Ner Yishu Beso, is the Maisad Loka. But with regard to Hider Mitzvah, so I'll use the Sfas Emes, the Kiyum is the ongoing lighting of the Neros.
Which is the Shir. That's where the Shir comes from.
Correct. And that's the Shir of Achitikla Regal Minashuk. Now, I wanted to add the following. The Bir Halacha of the Chofetz Chaim says the following. This is in Siman Tafresh Ayin Gimel. The Mechamer Paskins, Tofresh Ayin Gimel Sif Beis, Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, Lefichach Im Kofsa, Eino Zokakla. Says the Bir Halacha, Vinirali, okay, as soon as you hear those two words, you perk up your ears, because apparently the Chofetz Chaim is about to say something that has no source. Vinirali, he says that Kofsa Ein Zokakla B'Eis HaAdloka, he says at the time that he lights B'Inon Sheyu Kol HaNeros L'fi Cheshben HaYomim. So we'll say, what's Cheshben HaYomim in the Gemara's language? Sammy, what's Cheshben HaYomim? Mahajan Mina Mahajan, right? Yeah, let's just get the focus here, because the Mechamer Paskins, La Halacha, like the Ri and Tosfos, it's one of those cases where the Sfaradim go like the Ashkenazim, that it's an either or situation. You can't get both Mahajan and Mahajan Mina Mahajan. So we drop the Mahajan for the sake of the Mahajan Mina Mahajan. And the Mahajan Mina Mahajan is Kemispar HaYomim. You know, base hot, base sil, kiddisle, base shabbat, kiddisle, we pass like base sil, so it's Canadian yomim hayot. Hayot, meaning the days that went by, right? So the first day is one, the second day is two, and the third day is three. Whereas Beit Shammai says, Kenegi Yom HaNichnos. You chuck me out in the Gemara. I don't have time right now. It's not important. Oh, so comes along the Mishnah Brura, and he says the following. He says that it appears to him that the Esad Loka, when he's ready to light the Chanukah candles, Yielo Kol HaNeros L'fi Cheshben HaYom. He wants to be Mekayim, the Mahajim and Mahajim, which is Cheshben HaYom. He needs all the Neros. And he says the following. V'oz nechshav l'mahadur min mahadur. Aval im kovsa achas kodem shehishlim hadloka tzarech lachzar uladlika. So again, let's just get the reality here.
Hadli go or hadli come?
What do you say?
Hadli go or hadli come?
He's saying that the bracha of lahadlik, ner Chanukah, is now related to not just the ikar mitzvah, the one ner, because he wants to mekayim mahadrin mahadrin, but all the neros. And he's saying you have to have all the neros lit simultaneously. Well, when I mean lit, I mean olit, maybe if I add the A, right? It has to be olit, in other words, it has to be alive and well. The shalhevis has to be, let's say it's the eighth night of Chanukah, you need all eight shalavot simultaneously. Says the Bir Halacha that appears to him that if one of the candles that he's already lit before he got to number 8 was extinguished, Kavsa Zakukla. This is an unbelievable chiddush. We paskin, and that's Mefurish in the Shulchan Aruch, Kavsa Ein Zakukla. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah and he says, I have a scenario in which Kavsa Zakukla. Namely, when you want to be Mekayim, the Hidur Mitzvah of Mahajim and Mahajim, Keneged Yomim Hayotzim, right, the Mispar Yomim. How are you going to get the Mispar Yomim? You're going to tell me, well, you lit X number of candles, they went out, or one of them went out, and now you're ready for the last candle. So how many candles are lit now when you get to the last candle? Not a full 8.
Seven.
So he says, that's not a kiyum of Mahajim and Mahajim, Misfar Hayomim. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to make sure that you light another candle. So which definition is the Mishnah Berurah operating with? Is it Maisad Lok or is it Ner Dolk? Again, as soon as you hear Kofsa Zokot Law, automatically what has to appear on your brain, on your computer screen? Ner Dolk. So now he's saying the following, that the Machlok is between Maisad Lok, which is called Kofsa Ein Zokot Law, or Ner Dolik, which is Kofsa Zakukla, only applies as far as the Iker Kiyumah Mitzvah is concerned. One Ner each night. But when you want to achieve the Mitzvah of what? Of the Mahajrin and Mahajrin, here we have to introduce Ner Dolik. And if one of them goes out, you're going to have to recandle it so that you achieve the Ner Dolik Kineged Misfar Hayomin. It sounds identical to whom? To the Sfas Emes. But let me ask the Sfas Emes the following question. The Sfas Emes says that if one of the candles goes out, I'm going to relight that candle. If it's Mahajim and Mahajim. You have the picture. So watch this. Here's the scenario that I want to present in front of the other one today. I lit 8 candles on the 8th night. And now one of the candles goes out. Do I have to rekindle that light? Let's go. According to the Sfas Emes?
Yes.
Yes. That's exactly what the Sfas Emes says. That I have to rekindle the light in order to get an Ner Dolk. Because in order to achieve Mahadrim and Mahadrim, I need an Ner Dolk. And if it went out, I have to replace it. Would the Mishnah Berurah agree that if you lit 8 candles and one of them went out, that you should relight the 8th candle?
No.
No. Why not, Sam?
Because what he's saying is that it has to be lit at one time. And they were lit at one time, now nobody cares anymore.
Excellent. Here I want to reread the Mishnah Berurah. Listen carefully to his language. He adds 3 words here. He says the following. That Al-Kainim Kovsa Achas, now listen to the next 3 words, Kodem Shehishlim Hadloka. What does that mean, Kodem Shehishlim Hadloka? Where's he holding now when one of them goes out? Tochidei Hadloka. Tochidei Hadloka, says the Mishnah Berurah, relight the candle. But what would be, according to the Mishnah Berurah, if our reading of the Mishnah Berurah is correct, if he already lit all 8 candles, and now one of the candles goes out? It's not Kodem Shehishlim Hadloka. Why? Why does the Mishnah Berurah add that condition that you, Kofsa Zakukla, you have to rekindle the light for the sake of Mahajrin and Mahajrin, if it's Toch Kedei hadlaka. Vadayin lo hishlim es hadlaka. Why does he add that proviso? Why not go the step further and accept this fasemis? That there's a din of ner doluk, and therefore ner doluk generates kavsa zakikla, even if he lit all the eight candles.
Do you make a bracha?
I don't know about the bracha. Let's go slowly, before we get to the bracha. Why does the Mishnah Brura insist that it makes sense to rekindle and achieve the mitzvah of Mahadrin if it's toch kedei hadlaka?
It's the middle of Mas Hadlaka.
Can you go a little bit further than that? What is Ner Doluk, according to the Mishnah Brura, from Mahadrin and Mahadrin? Is it just Ner Doluk? Meaning, can I just go over to my closet, and take out an air and light it and call it Mahadrin? It's got to be connected to what? To the Mais Hadlaka. In other words, what the Mishnah Brura is postulating, and I don't think the Sfasemis realizes, again, the Sfasemis before the Mishnah Brura, I'm just saying, the Mishnah Brura is saying that in order to be Mekayim a mitzvah of Mahadrin, or for that matter, Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, you have to connect that Ner Doluk to the Mais Hadlaka. If the Mais Hadlaka is terminated, then that's it. Whatever you achieved, you achieved. Whatever you didn't, you didn't. There's no possibility of setting up a brand new hadlaka simply for the purpose of Hidur Mitzvah. If that hadlaka is not connected to what? To the original hadlaka, then it's meaningless. Like, for example, the Gemara in Rav Lezer de Mila, right? The Gemara says that with Mila on Shabbos, is he allowed to cut what's called tzitzin she'ena ma'akfim, right? You have certain tzitzin, which are skins, that are only cut for the sake of zekei l'miyaveh, for hider mitzvah. So the Gemara says it all depends. If it's tochidei amila, lo silekes yadav, then he can continue cutting, even for the sake of hider mitzvah. And he's going to override the Shabbos, because it's all part of what? One continuous maisa mila. But if already silek es yadav, and now he wants to cut the tzitzim shenem ha'akvin, that's not going to be docha Shabbos. In other words, the hider mitzvah is meaningful as it latches on as an extension or connection of the maisa mitzvah. That's what the Mishnah Berurah means when he says im od lo hishlim es hadlaka. Now you can rekindle the lights because you're still involved in that hadlaka and set up an air doluk of eight candles on the eighth night. The Sfasemes says no. He says that kofsa zakukla with regard to hider mitzvah. So listen, what would be, imagine if I have only one candle. If I have only one candle, okay, let's say it's the second night of Hanukkah. So obviously I can only light one candle. More than that you can't expect me to do, right? Now I light one candle, and an hour later I get a knock on the door from the Telzi Yeshiva, okay, and they give me a whole bunch of candles. What would the Sfasemis do with those candles? It's the second night of Chanukah, right? I only have one candle. So I can't be Mekayim the Hidur Mitzvah, because I only have one candle. So Neri Shabeso, that's exactly, you can't expect me to do more than that. An hour later, my candle is long history, it's long gone. I get a knock on the door, and lo and behold, somebody delivers me two candles. He said, according to the Vasemis, what should he do with those two candles? He should light them and be Makai in the midst of Hidur. According to the Mishnah Brura, ain't no such thing. Because it's not Odlo Hishlimo Esar Hadlaka. He was already Mashlim Hadlaka. I mean, Mashlim Hadover Domen. I took an Esrei. It was completely Mufka from any Hidur Mitzvah. It was like the bottom barrel. I got it for 10 shekel. Now somebody comes in after I shook the lula, and he gives me a beautiful esro. Would there be any point to shaking the esro and achieving hider mitzvah? Says the Mishnah Brura, no. It's not toch kidei maisa lekicha. So as long as my lekicha is still going, which is very hard to imagine in the case of Dal Mina Minag Be'nafik Be'finish, finito. There's no... But if Lu Yitzu, you could somehow squeeze into that Maisa mitzvah. Let's say you would, I don't know if you would, you can't take both Esrogim simultaneously, but let's say they were both on the Shulchan and he's going to take one and the other. Maybe then you could be Mekayim Hidur Mitzvah. I don't know, that's a stretch. But in the case of Ner Chanukah, you can imagine the Mishnah Berurah very well, because as long as I'm still continuing with my Adlaka, I can enhance my mitzvah and achieve Mahadrim and Mahadrim. But in my case, where I only had one Ner on the second night, I lit my one Ner and then, you know, I won the lottery and all of a sudden two Neros fall into my possession, there's no point to lighting the two candles according to the Mishnah Berurah, because what's your point? You want to achieve Mahadrim and Mahadrim. It's got to be within the connection to the Maisad Lok.
Sam? You're pushing the Mishnah Berurah a little too much, because the Mishnah Berurah just says if it went out before the others were lit, then it doesn't count together. What you're going with is like your Chaim's idea that you can't.
No, he says Kodesh Hishlam Hadlaka. He's talking about the Hadlaka of the Neros.
If it goes out before the thing went out,
then you rekindle.
But that's not to say that if you have like one candle lighting and it's still lit up 3 hours later that you can't.
Oh, no. That's what, when I said an hour later someone knocks on his door, I meant to say, I should have said an hour, I should have said 4 hours.
It was like, no, but I'm saying,
after it went out.
Or after it went out, but if it's still on.
That's what I meant by an hour. I'm sorry, I wasn't
Esrog is a chiddush beyond. They're saying that you can't do a hiddur after it's been done. That's not implicit in the Mishnah Berurah.
Why? Again, if the Mishnah Berurah is saying the thrust of Kodesh Yishlam is Adlaka is that Hidur Mitzvah is only meaningful as long as you're still involved in the Maisa Mitzvah.
They might be saying that so long as they are all burning at the same time, then you have eight burning.
But then he didn't have to add those three words. I'm saying he could have subtracted those three words.
No, because after
said,
it went out, you don't have them.
If the Mishnah Berurah would have held like this five sentences, he just would have said the following: make sure that you have all candles, kibispar yomim, lit simultaneously. That's not what he says. He's saying that kofsa zakikla for the sake of hider ben ahidur is only toch kidei adlaka kevin shlo shlima shlimis mais adlaka. Why does the Mishnah Berurah have to add those three words? Just to confuse me? He's pointing out that the only
three words are that they didn't go out yet.
No, I'm saying Hadlaka means the Maisad Loka, correct? Okay. So he needs to have an extension of the Maisad Loka. If the Maisad Loka finished, and I fulfilled my mitzvah, because there is your beso, then you can't just create a new Mahadrin as a separate entity. That's not what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. And that's why I say the Sfasemis went a lot further. He wants to say, you know what? One of the candles went out. Well, for that matter, all the candles went out. Just replace them. Because now we're going to say that everybody agrees that Kavsa Zakaklo for the sake of a Ner Dolok. The Mishnah Berurah says there's no such thing as a Ner Dolok that just floats in and starts and ends on its own as an independent entity, which is not Mitzurif, it's not connected to the Maisad Loka. So therefore, in my case, which I wasn't clear about, he lit one candle, and that's it. It went out. So the Maisad, you again, if you would ask me, I would say a half hour after he lit it, that's already too late. We're going to soon see the riff sheet is that after a half hour, it's no longer near Chanukah, and even though we paskin also l'shtamish tov, you'll let it be l'shtamish tov. But certainly, if it went out, it's too late to light it again. And Sfasemis seems to envision in his mind a Kofsa Zakiklo, which is completely and totally for the sake of Hidur Mitzvah, disconnected from the Maisad Lok. Fascinating machlokas between the Sfasemis and the.
Is the Mahadrim and the Mahadrim?
Where is the field? He's
still working on your thing. Does that require it to be done in order or not?
What's the sequence of lighting in it?
Yes.
Well, that's going to be machlokas, whether or not you should light from the left or from the right.
No,
you know, how many is you go from the right to the left, and the other Rishonim say you go from the left to the right.
What if you went 1, 2, 3, skipped 4, went 5, 6, 7, then you went back and did 4?
Yeah. Again, I don't know. That's a whole other question. If you ask me, I would say the sequence is totally irrelevant, but I didn't study that soon. Okay, so that's how I want to share with you here in the name of the Sfas Emes and compared to the Mishnah Berurah. Now, Rabosa, yesterday we started an essay. I will try to summarize for those who weren't here yesterday what we covered in that essay. And we didn't get a chance to finish it up. Okay, then? So let's just see if I could find it. Of course, I left it on my shtender.
I have copies.
Okay, here's a copy. Very good. So if anybody doesn't have a copy of this, you can pass it around. Again, I gave this out to, I think,
it's just one.
I think, yes.
Two different sheets.
So again, if you're looking at this page, it should say, just so you identify it, Resh Ayin Ches. Okay then? You have such a page? Okay. So let's just summarize what we did yesterday, the main points, the highlights. The Rambam, when he defines the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, he says the following, mitzvah al kol bayis u bayis lahadlik ner echad. Then he goes on to say that the Mahadran will light even more than one ner, and he goes through an entire long presentation with a lot of details. The Rambam says that if he's a Mahadir, then if he has 10 people in the household on the first night, he's going to light 10 candles. On the second night, he's going to light 20 candles. And on the eighth night, he's going to light 80 candles. It's a whole long Rambam. Unfortunately, I don't have the Rambam in front of me, so otherwise I would certainly want to read the Rambam. Oh. So there are two very important points here in this Rambam. First of all, the language of the Rambam, mitzvah shehei kol bayis u'bayis madlik, that's pretty strange. The braisa that we have says ish u'beso. Rashi explains, ish u'beso means every member of the household is called an ish. But the word u'beso means that one hadlaka in that bayis is already enough of a fulfillment on the part or on behalf of every single member in the bayis. So that's the ish u'beso. Did everybody have that? But the Rambam says no. Mitzvah she'e kol bayis u'bayis madlik. That's point number one. We'll come back to this point in just a second. And point number two is that for some strange reason, the Rambam decides that we're not worried about what Balei HaTosfos are worried about, that the onlooker is going to be totally confused if you try to be Makai both Mahadran and Mahadran Min and Mahadran simultaneously, if you're going to add both the number of candles that reflect the Anshei HaBayis and the number of candles that reflect Mispar Yomim Kineged Yom HaYotzim. And Tosfos says the onlooker has no idea what this number represents because it's not Anshei Beso, it's not, you know, it's a new number of candles. The Rambam is not impressed with that. The Rambam says, just go ahead and fulfill both the Mahadran, light 10 candles on the first night, and then Mahadran Min Mahadran on the second night, light 20 candles until you get to the eighth night and you light 80 candles. And again, it's very atypical of the Rambam that he has to take us by the hand, you know, step by step through the mathematics and give us and flesh out all the whole scenario. But on the first point that I want to get back to, mitzvah she'ehi kol bayis u'bayis madlu ner echad. That's the Rambam's language. So Rav Soloveitchik says that in very rare cases we find that the mitzvah is on the bayis. What would be the the paradigm mitzvah that's on the bayis?
Mezuzah.
Excellent. Which means that insofar as I have a bias, I'm chayav in mezuzah. If I don't have a bias, and I didn't rent a bias, I'm not chayav in mezuzah. A homeless person is not chayav in mezuzah. That's called a chomus bias. We find something similar with regard to bedikas chometz. That's called a chomus bias. If you have a bias, you have to be bodek the house on every Pesach. And Makeh, for example, would be a classic example of a chomus bias. It means if I own a house and there's a slanted roof, I'm chayv in Makeh. So the entire chiyuv depends upon, or we could say is generated by the bias. So for example, if let's say, again this is a very iffy kind of suggestion.
Can you define that term? It's generated by?
By the bias. In other words, if I have a bias, the whole condition, the precondition to the chiyuv emerges with a bias. If I don't have a bias, I'm not chayav. It's not what you call a chovas haguf, meaning it's a personal, like for example, lulav. If I don't have a lulav, I gotta go out and get myself a lulav, right? If I don't have, if I don't have matzah, I have to go out and get myself matzah. You know, it's not a condition that if I have a bias and then I have matzah, I have to eat matzah, right? There's no precondition of a bias. So, for example, If a person doesn't have a bias, he's not chayv in a chovas bias. Not in the case of mezuzah, in the case of makah, in the case of nikas chovas. So now we're adding to the list ner chanukah, because the Rambam says mitzvah al kol bias u bias lahad. He doesn't say al kol echad veechad lahad libeso, which is the way Rashi formulates it, but mitzvah al kol bias lahad.
So it's like maaser. If you don't have behemoth, you don't have to give maaser. You don't have to buy behemoth to give maaser.
Correct. In other words, the ownership of the behemoth would generate the chiyuv. Here also we have a conditional chiyuv in Ner Chanukah. And what is that condition? A bias. If there's no bias, there's no chiyuv. I don't have to go out and buy a bias. So for example, I don't know what a bias is, but let's say there's a famous Rashi, which we'll get to on Daf Chav Gimel, that a sfina, a ship, is not called a bias. In what context does Rashi say this? Again, we have to go to another sugya unto itself. There's a sugya called Birchas HaRoeh. That means, if I can't fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, at least I can see your candle, and I can fulfill the mitzvah of Re'iyas Ner Chanukah. And if I make the bracha, Shal Samisim Lam was saying. So Rashi gives the example. Who's a person who's not chayav in Ner Chanukah, and therefore, all he can get is the kiyum of what? Of Re'iyah. The answer is Haholech B'Sfina. Haholech B'Sfina has no bias. Okay, now you can argue that maybe a Sfina is a bias. I guess if there's anyone here in the room who ever went on a cruise, but not on Chanukah, okay, so you'd have to ask yourself whether a Sfina is a bias. Today they build these, what do they call them, these cruise ships, the
floating hotels.
Yeah, floating hotels, you know, maybe that has a bit of a bias, and you get your meals there. I mean, you can do anything on that ship. But Rashi says, I'll like the Sfina. Okay.
They're kind of Sfina, not what we have today. Today you would be high to light inside the cabin.
I don't know. But let's leave that out, Robert, because I don't want to get distracted on Sfinas. I just mentioned it in passing. I'm always in trouble when I mention something in passing, because on the one hand, I just want to enhance what I'm saying. On the other hand, some reason, my audience just automatically, when I say something in passing, that's where they hang on. I always say that after a shiur, if I tell a story, the only thing they remember is the story. You know, the shiur is long forgotten. Okay. So now, Rav Soloveitchik, in this article, which is quoted in Harei Kedem, wants to answer a few questions. Question number one, the Gemara later on is going to vacillate back and forth about the law of Achsanoi. If I'm a host in your house, am I chayav in their house?
A guest.
If I'm a guest in your house, am I chayav in their house? So Rav Soloveitchik asks the question, which actually the Ran raises. Why does the Gemara tell me, is an achsanoi chayv in tefillin? Is an achsanoi chayv in talis? Is an achsanoi chayv in matzah? Etc., etc. Why did the Gemara have to vacillate back and forth and tell me, Gemara v'gechidish, the achsanoi is going to be chayv in Ner Chanukah? What's the havmina to say that achsanoi is parted from Ner Chanukah? And what's the answer of Osai? It's a chovas bias, and it's not his bias. With this, the Rav wants to answer another question. Tosfos in Masechtas Sukkah vacillates back and forth about the following question. What happens if, I'll read to you the Tosfos, just one second. Where's Reish Ayin Zayin? So I just want to get the Lashon of Tosfos. Oh, here is Reish Ayin Zayin. No, I need Reish Ayin Vav. Oh, here it is. Great. So here's the Tosfos in Sukkah. Tosfos in Sukkah wants to ask the following question. Why is it that the Gemara has a Birchas HaRoeh when I see your Ner Chanukah, and we don't find anywhere in Shas that there's a Birchas HaRoeh when I see your Mezuzah?
Why would you think there would be?
Oh, so Rav Soloveitchik, yes. Why would you think that there's a Birchas HaRoeh on Sukkah? Says Rav Soloveitchik, the reason why they established the Birchas HaRoeh on Ner Chanukah, according to the Rambam Shita, is because Ner Chanukah is not a Chovas HaGuf. It's not my obligation to Ner Chanukah. The lighting of Ner Chanukah is obligatory because of what? of a bias. Now the Chazal had to ask the funny question, so what do we do never for someone who has no bias? So they made a special takana on behalf of someone who has no bias, that he at least achieves one element of miktas kiyum of re'ir, on which he makes a brach. Now Tosfos' question is crystal clear. If you're telling me that because the mitzvah is generated by the bias, therefore we have to worry about nevach those who have no bias and give them a little bit of a piece of the mitzvah, they've been a special takana called Birchas HaRoeh, why not apply the same logic to the mitzvah of what? A mezuzah. That since mitzvah of mezuzah is also a chovas bias, so if I don't own a bias, I'm not renting house, whatever it might be, I have no chiv of mezuzah. Give me chach, a little piece of the pie. Give me some sort of mitzvah kiyum. Let me at least have Birchas HaRoeh. And then Tosfos goes on and he's machalik, why they made a Birchas HaRoeh for Chanukah and not for mezuzah. But at least we can begin to understand the analogy that Tosfos wanted to presume in his kasha between mezuzah and mirch. And based on this, he wants to answer another kasha. There's something called in the Gemara later on and Daf Chav Beis a ner sheyesh bo harbe pifios, meaning that there are many wicks in one menorah. And if you take a look now on page, one second, I just gotta get myself oriented here. Page Reish Ayin Ches. No, I'm sorry. Okay, well, so I'm sorry, I apologize. I just have to go, not be lazy, and get my safe that I left outside here because I.
What are you looking for?
I think it's, wait, maybe it's here. Maybe it's not here.
What citation?
Oh, I found. Okay, Reish Ayin Zayin. Okay. Okay. So now, he has a tour. Second, let me make sure I got the names right. This is Shibole Aleket in the tour. Shibole Aleket. Let's start with the Shibole Aleket, then we'll get to the tour. The Shibole Aleket, which again you'll see on Reish Ayin Zayin, number base, O space. That's the second paragraph on the right column. The Shibole Aleket wants to know what happens if you have two people that are sharing one bias. Okay, they're shutofen. And you have a ner sheyesh bo pifios harbe. So there are many wicks in this ner. And the Shibole Aleket is addressing the following question. Can they both, let's say Reuven and Shimon are living in the same house, can they both fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, respectively, by each one lighting one candle, one pifia, one wick? So I'll get back to the Shibole Aleket in just a second. First,
there's
I wanted to.
There's one reservoir of oil in the two wicks.
Right, correct. So I want to just, I'll fast forward to the tour because the tour gives us the intuitive answer to this question. Says the tour in the name of the Gaonim, so you're really going back in history. He says, "Anoshim rabim hadorim bechotzer achas, umishtatvim kulam b'shemen." If they all share ownership in the shemen, yotzim kulam b'ner echad. We'll see that the Shibole Aleket just drops that condition. So again, the Torah in the name of the Gaon, Rav Sar Shalom Gaon, says that if you have two people living in the same bayis, same chotzer, and they want to be yotze with one ner, each one is going to light a different wick, they can do so, but only on the condition that they are shutafim in the shemen. And the Torah says that the clear-cut proof for this condition is from the Gemara of Achsenoy. The Gemara says regarding a guest, this time I'm saying I got it right, regard to a guest, that the guest could only be yotze with the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah if he's a shutof in the shemen. He has to own a partnership and possess the shemen, a partner owner in the shemen. So the tour, now in the name of Rav Sar Shalom Gaon, applies the same principle to the case of two people living in the same bayis. and therefore they can only fulfill the mitzvah if they both own the shemen. But let's say Reuven owns the shemen exclusively, and Shimon has no shutfus in the shemen. Could Shimon fulfill his mitzvah by lighting that wick within the nair? The answer is no. Comes along the Shibole Aleket, who was many, many centuries after the Gaonim. Oh, Rabbi, this is nostalgia for me. Okay, great. It's been a while since the Rabbi was here, so it's now I'm feeling really good. Anyway, says the Shibole Aleket, I'm just joking with you, you don't mind. Okay, I just try to distract you from anything else that might be on your mind. So says the Shibole Aleket, that name, that Yotzim, they could both be Yotze with this Nair that has two Pifios in it. So Rav Soloveitchik asks the following question. What's going on over here? The Gemara says with regard to Achsinoi that you're only Yotze if you have what? Shutfis in the Nair. And therefore the tour, based on Rav Sarashom Gom, says that if you have two people living in the same bias, they can only be Yotze with one Nair if they both own the Shutfis in the Nair. How did the Shibole Aleket have the chutzpah to go a step further and say they don't need Shutfis in the Nair? Says Rav Soloveitchik, there's a fundamental difference between Achsinoi and the case of the Shibole Aleket / Tur. Who can help me out over here? Jeff, in the case of Achsinoi, who owns the bias? Only the Baal Bias. The Achsinoi is not a Baal Bias. He's not paying rental. He was invited for a Leil Shabbos. You know, he's a host in your, he's a guest in your house. So now we need a new mechanism to link him up with the hadlaka because it's not his bias. So what shaykhus does he have to this hadlaka? And the answer to that says the Gemara is shutfis in the nair. That the shutfis in the nair somehow, you know, we're going to have to rack our brains and figure this out, magically works as the agency to give him a status of one of the b'nei habayis. So that now that locus habayis relates to him. Comes along the Shibole Aleket, he says no, but in a case where they both have rental agreements in the bias, meaning they both are sharing ownership in the chatzer, they don't need shutfis in the nair. Why? All they need is a chovas bias. Each one represents a bias because he has ownership in the bias and he has to set up hadlaka. It doesn't matter whether or not he owns the nair. That's irrelevant. In the case of Achsinoi, where lechora the whole chovas bias falls off, as we said before, the Gemara have mina that the Achsinoi is not even chayav in their Chanukah because the Rambam says that the mitzvahs are called bias for bias. He's not a bias. He doesn't have a bias. Then I need this new mechanism that we're going to make it into his bias because at least the shemen belongs to him. But if he's a real full-fledged Baal HaBayis, then he has a chiyuv in Adlaka to set up Adlaka's HaBayis. Therefore, he doesn't have to have shutfis in the name. Okay, that's what you have on these.
How does he work the shutfis in the nair? I don't understand the.
How shutfis in the nair makes him into one of the Baal HaBayis? Okay, I have a whole article on that, but I'm saving something for to try to tempt you to come to later shiurim. You know. Okay. Now, did you get this handout? Okay.
Do you have an extra?
Here, two extra copies here. I might need one copy of myself because again I left the original safe in the basement.
Right, you may need it.
Okay, just in case I need it. Put it down. Alright. Now I've all signed. Okay, I'm a little bit frustrated because I had asked Yechiel if he could send me.
Yechiel sent some things.
He did?
But electronically.
Okay. Does it say Rutz Kitzvi on top of it? Take a look, if you can.
On top of it, but I can leave it on here.
All right. So I owe you, B'li Neder, for tomorrow, a photocopy of the Rutz Kitzvi. Okay? And as Alan would say, let's hope we're running in the right direction. Okay? Now, first of all, who is the Rutz Kitzvi? So next time you're in LA, again, he's a very busy man, but if you can get an appointment with him, Ratzvi Reisman, the man is unbelievably busy, but he really tries to make time. And he is the creator of two sites on the internet. One is called HebrewBooks.org, which is an absolutely amazing site. I just hope he continues with it because there's still a million sparm that has to get up on that site. That site will allow you access to hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of svarim and printable, free of charge. And he has another site, which is also an amazing site, and I just hope he doubles it and triples it. It's called olamot.net. And olamot.net has at least 350 shiurim online on major heavy topics. I haven't gotten a chance to look up Hanukkah yet, but he himself, who's the creator of these two sites, has published an entire series of Sfarim under the name Ratz Kitzvi. Ratz Kitzvi is taken from a mission in Olmos, and his name is Reb Tzvi Reisman. Not to be confused with another Rabbi Reisman on the East Coast. What's his first name?
Yisrael,
who's a cousin of his, who attracts on a Motzi Shabbos 1,000 people to his shiur. So the Reismans are big. Anyway, in Ratz Kitzvi, he has an essay called Simon Tess, Ner Ish Ubesa. Okay then? So again, I apologize. Although I thought I set up the mechanism that you would have this, but somehow it got aborted somewhere. Do you have it in your computer?
I think I have it.
Okay, see what he sent you. Maybe. It should say Ratz Kitzvi. Okay.
Here we are. No, Mishnas Yavis and Harei Kedem.
Okay, so that's not it. Okay.
He got it done. That's why he told me to give you back the
safe. I see. So listen carefully, Rabbi. There's among an Avram in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Chanukah that raises an apparent contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch itself. Could you imagine? Now, in order to appreciate the kasha of the Magen Avraham and the steer in the Shulchan Aruch, you have to know a rule which the Mechaber, meaning Rav Yosef Kair himself, presents with regard to learning his Sefer in the Shulchan Aruch. And that is that whenever he formulates two opinions, he means to paskin like the second opinion. Okay? Again, it's not... If we had hours and hours, we'd have to research this. But not for us now. In Hilchas Chanukah, the Mechaber wants to know whether I could be Yotzei my mitzvah of Chanukah if a katan, you have to add another few words in the Mechaber, Higia Lechinuch, lights the Ner Chanukah. And he quotes 2 days. The first day the Mechaber quotes in Siman Tafresh Ayin Hay is that Isha Madlekes Olav, his wife could light the Ner Chanukah on his behalf. Sha'af hi chayeves ba. And that's going to be a sugya later on Daf Chav Gimel called Af hein hayu ba'osanis. Avol imidlika katan. If the katan lights the Ner Chanukah, lo asav lo klum, you cannot fulfill your mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So imagine the following scenario, according to the first day in the Mechaber. Soon we'll see he quotes the second opinion. If I put down, I'm a gadol, and I put down my Ner Chanukah exactly where it has to be lit, but the katan lights it, I'm not yotzei. Then he writes, aval yesh misha omer, bekatan shehigia lechinuch mutar. There's a katan, let's say he's 9 years old, he can light the Ner Chanukah. Now again, we're going to have to rack our brains. We have a principle called Yatza Motzi, which means if you're a Bar Chiyuva, you could fulfill the Chiyuv on my behalf. But a katan, even though he has a Chiyuv Chinuch, he doesn't really have a Chiyuv of the Mitzvah Ner Chanukah. Again, Chinuch maybe, even that's questionable. So how could the katan, according to the second opinion, light? But the Magen Avraham understood that the Mechaber was allowing this to go on if it's a katan shehigia lechinuch, and it's mutter. Now he fast forwards to Hilchas Megillah. This is tough resh pei tes, and the Mechaber paskins without any hesitation. There's no ifs, ands, or buts in Hilchas Megillah. Echad akorei ve'echad ashomea min akorei yotza. I can hear your Megillah reading and fulfill my chiyuv. Ubilvat she shama mimishu chayav b'kriyasa. only if the person who's reading the Megillah is chayav in the mitzvah Megillah. Lefichach, im haya kore cheresh o katan, lo yatsa shomea yidei chovos. Where's the Yesh Mishomer? That's the Magen Avraham's Gevaldik Akash. Why doesn't the Yesh Mishomer appear in Hilchas Megillah just as it appears in Hilchas Chanukah? Meaning, why did the Mechaber allow us room to rely on the Rafael? I can't give Shia. Can you move a little bit inside or something? You don't mind? I'm sorry. I would close the window, but we need the air. So, again, Rabbo, so you hear the kasha of the Magen Avraham. The Mechaber seems to contradict himself, especially if you assume that the Yesh Misha Omer, who allows you to rely on the Katan Zadlok and Erchanik if he's a Gil Lechinuch, is the way that the Mechaber goes. That's the accepted opinion of the Mechaber. In Ilchus Megillah, he leaves no doubt, no room to doubt it. You need a Bar Chiyuv. That's what the Magen Avraham asks. Okay. That's number one. Now, we have another kasha. This kasha is also on the Shulchan Aruch, but it's from the Prima God. The Mechaber Paskins in Simon Tuf Reish Ayin Tes, okay, these are halachas of Ner Shabbos, that on Erev Shabbos of Chanukah, Madlikim Ner Chanukah Tchila V'Acharkach Ner Shabbos. Why does the sequence have to be Ner Chanukah first?
Because once you light on Shabbos, you can't.
Because you already what?
Mekabel Shabbos.
Once you Mekabel Shabbos, you can't light Ner Chanukah. Okay. Then, b'di'eved, im hidlik shel Shabbos, he made a mistake and he switched around the order. He first lit Ner Shabbos. And by the way, this is quite common in the case of the Gabbai of the Beis HaKnesses, because very often he's going to be Yotze his mitzvah of Ner Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses. That itself is a bombastic sugya, whether or not you can fulfill your own chiv in the Beis HaKnesses, because it's not really your bias. Okay, so he'll light Shabbos candles in his house. In any event, b'di'eved, hidlik shel Shabbos, he says, Yochol lahadlik acharkach, he can light afterwards only if lo kibel olav es haShabbos. Now this gets into the whole issue of what we call tnai. Can you light Shabbos candles with a tnai that you're not being makabel Shabbos? Okay. Comes along the Magen Avraham and he says, venerally, he says, since our minog is that the woman lights Ner Shabbos, and not only that, with her hadlaka, she is automatically Mekabel Shabbos. Again, Rabosai, I'm not sure if I want to tell you this, because if I'm going to tell you this, it's Mutav Shiv Shogigin, because our meaning is not necessarily the way the Magen Avraham understood. Magen Avraham says there's no Tanai by an Isha. But in any event, let's assume, For the time being, according to the Magen Avraham, she now has no option. So let's say she lives alone, right? She's not married. And what does she do in Ner Chanukah? She's obligated in Ner Chanukah. Says the Magen Avraham, Tomar li acher lahadlik. She should appoint someone else to light on her behalf Ner Chanukah. Why? Because she's in a no-win situation. There's no way possible that she could light Ner Chanukah, because she was already Mekabel Shabbos. But she can instruct someone else, Lahadlik, Tomer Liacher Lahadlik.
It's before Shkia.
Oh. Obviously it's before Shkia. Otherwise it's no mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Because, as we said in the name of the Taz, you know, with Shabbos, there's no possibility of Ner Chanukah. So the Prima Gadim is going to ask a question. Who can anticipate the Prima Gadim's question?
Can she ask her son?
Does anybody know the first thing about Shlichus? The first rule in Shlichus? Who can be a Shliach?
Anyone who can do...
If whom?
Right,
every Shlichus has two, it takes two to tango, right? You need the Shliach and also the Mishaleach. Zev, when does Shlichus operate? Only if the Mishaleach can do what the Shliach does.
Right.
That's a sugya in Masechta Kiddushin. And the Gemara says, also Nazir, wait, let me just read to you the Gemara. Kol de'iu lo matzi asa, if he himself can't do it, lo mashve Shliach, he cannot appoint the Shliach. Okay, Zev, now what's the cash of the Prima Gadol? The Magen Avraham just said that she was mekabel Shabbos, she can't light the Neir Chanukah, let her get someone else to light on Aviv. Frekti, Prima Gadim, how could she appoint the Shliach on her behalf since she herself can't light the Neir Chanukah? So she can't appoint the Shliach to light the Neir Chanukah.
It's not a matter of whether you can or you can't, it's whether you have a chiyuv or not. You don't have a chiyuv. See, if you have the chiyuv of...
Right, it could be that maybe the Magen Avraham understood that the Iser Shabbos is already extraneous. Now, really, she could light Ner Chanukah, but the problem is, it's not a Chanukah issue, it's a Shabbos issue.
Right, exactly.
But the way the Prima Gadim understood it, if Lamaisa, befall, in actuality, whatever, however you slice the cake, you can conceptualize and love this way, that way, but at the end of the day, she can't possibly fulfill that action. And that mitzvah by herself, she cannot appoint a shliach. That's the kasha of the Prima God. Okay. Now we get to question number three. Everything here is built on the Magen Avraham, a different comment to the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham writes in Tof Resh Ayin Vav, in the name of the Bach, that if a man already lit Chanukah candles, this is very typical, his wife comes home, and now he wants to light on behalf of his wife. You and I might say, let her light. But he wants to know, can he light on behalf of his wife? And he writes the following, Adam Shekvar Hidlik, Yochal Lahadlik Le'isha, Ulevarich, and he can make the brach. Why? That's under the principle of Yotza Motzi, right?
She doesn't need to light anymore.
Well, let's say Mahadrin. Mahadrin is called Echad V'Echad. So she wasn't part of the Adloka. Now she comes home.
Not Licha Lechad, but everybody, according to the many that they actually like the Ramah.
Correct. The Ramah Shita, right? We're going according to the Ashkenazim. So everyone's lighting. She comes home. So he can light and make the brach on her behalf. Aval, he writes, with one stipulation. Kigon, she'omedes etzlo, she's standing next to him when he makes the brach and he lights the candle. Amol binyan acher, if she's not there, ein levar. And listen to the punchline of the Magen Avraham. Kevan shamitzvah muteles al gufa adam. Okay. So now the Prima Gadim says the following. The Magen Avraham is committed to the following position, that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is muteles al gufa adam. Now, with regard to gufa adam, we have a principle that there's no shlichus. For example, I can't appoint you to as my shlich to put tefillin on for me. Right? That would be really cool. Right? Imagine. Today would be the last time that I put on tefillin for the rest of my life. I'll just appoint you as a constant shliach. I don't have to come to davening, right? Why do I have to daven? The answer is, this is a famous Tosfos Arid in Masechta Kiddushin, in the Sugya of Shlichus, that anything that's muta al gufo shel adam doesn't lend itself to shlichus. Oh. If that's the position of the Magen Avraham with regard to Ner Chanukah, the Ner Chanukah is muta al gufo shel adam, then there's no shlichus. So how is it possible that the Magen Avraham allows the husband to light on behalf of the wife? And for that matter, asks the Prima Gadim, how could you ever have the lighting of someone else on your behalf? For example, the Gemara says about Reb Zera, if he couldn't get home, is Ishto Madlekasol, that she would light on his behalf. How is that feasible? There's no shlichus in the mitzvah. Who tell us how gufo shel adam?
What's happening?
Oh, so he comes out and he wants to say the following, that this is not shlichus. I'll prove to you that it's not shlichus. The Magen Avraham stipulates the following condition, that she has to be there at the time of his adlaka. Where do we find that in Ilcha Shlichus? So what's going on here? Let's review three kashas that the Magen Avraham asks.
Just for the bracha. for the bracha, she has to be there, because otherwise
he's assuming that you can't make the bracha and you can't fulfill the mitzvah. So let's go over the three kashas. Okay, you'll go through it, Sam, when you get the original. I'm just summarizing the highlights.
I'm reading it as we talk.
Okay. So he says the following. Point number one. How could the Shulchan Aruch say that a katan could light Ner Chanukah? On behalf of Gadol, if it's a Gila Chinuch in Megillah, he doesn't allow for such a possibility that a katan reads the Megillah. Question number two. How could it be that on Leil Shabbos, if she already was Makabel Shabbos and she lit Ner Shabbos, now she could have someone else light on her behalf? We have a principle that in Shlichus, if you can't do it yourself, you can't appoint a Shliach. And question number three, how can the Magen Avraham say that if a man is lighting on behalf of his wife, that's okay? Which in itself is problematic, because the Magen Avraham itself formulates the principle that mitzvahs ner Chanukah mutels al gufo shel adam, and we have the famous principle that any mitzvah al gufo shel adam doesn't lend itself to shlichus. And to complicate matters, the Magen Avraham adds this stipulation that she should be there. Oh. So let's take each question one by one. According to what we said in the Rambam's frame of reference, the chiyuv of Ner Chanukah is incumbent upon the bias. She a kol bias u bias madlik. Now the question is, what's considered adlaka on behalf of the bias? If the mitzvah were incumbent upon each individual, then clearly the katan would be excluded. Just like in the case of Mikra Megillah. The mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is incumbent upon every individual. I can't have a katan read the Megillah on my behalf because he's not a bar chiyuva, or at least he doesn't share the same level of chiyuv that I have. So just like if I eat a meal and I have to bench, I can't be yotzi with the katan's birkas hamazon because he's not a bar chiyuva. So too in the case of Megillah. Why is Chanukah the exception to the rule? And the answer could be because Chanukah is not a chova mutelas al kol echad v'echad. It's a chova that's mutelas al abayis. And now I, as a member of the household, am obligated to see to it that the bias is equipped with an Ner Chanukah. Oh, so you'll ask me, if that be the case, then why can't I ask a guy to light an Ner Chanukah? Why can't I ask a katan, even if he's lo yigia l'chinuch? Even the Mechaber only allows a kotshi gil l'chinuch. The other question. If my whole obligation exhausts itself in setting up a ner that's related to the bias, and this ner is the ner of the entire bias, then why do I need any level of chiyuv in order to set up a ner for that bias? And the answer is, I need a maisa adlok. I don't need a full-fledged bar chiyuva, but at least I need someone who is capable of halachically validated or recognized maisa adlaka. So let's take the case of a guy. That's not called a maisa adlaka. Why not? He's completely excluded from the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So what he creates is not considered a Ner Chanukah. So even though the bias is obligated, the bias has to set up a Ner Chanukah. The mechanism by which you set up a Ner Chanukah is to have someone who has some shaykhus to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. He can create a Ner Chanukah.
What about Ner Shabbos?
One second, let me just finish with Chanukah. The Mela, what about the case of a katan? Could I have a katan set up a Ner Chanukah on behalf of the entire bias? The answer is it depends. If he's lo yigia l'chinuch, he's completely excluded from the mitzvah of Chanukah. And he's like a guy, he can't create a Ner Chanukah. That's not a maisa adlaka. But if on the other hand, he's already yigia l'chinuch, that means that the halacha requires that I educate him in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, the Mechaber holds a point to that second opinion, that that's sufficient to create a maisa adlaka of Ner Chanukah. Now, what's the word about Ner Shabbos? That's a different discussion. Maybe in the case of Ner Shabbos, there's no mitzvah of Maisa Adlaka to create a Heftz of Ner Shabbos. All you need is to light up the house. So maybe a guy could do that for me. But in the case of a mitzvah, I need a Maisa mitzvah. And here, the Ratzkin Tzvi quotes a Chacham Tzvi. Now, if you know it, the Chacham Tzvi lived how many centuries ago? almost 5 centuries ago, 4+ centuries ago. And the Chacham Tzvi says the following. Listen to the language of the Chacham Tzvi.
It only come 200.
Say it again?
250 years ago.
The Chacham Tzvi, 250? No. No, much earlier than that. He was Rav Yaakov Emden's son. Rav Yaakov Emden's
father.
What?
Rav Yaakov Emden's father.
Rav Yaakov Emden himself lived in the 1700s. I think the Chacham Tzvi was in the 1600s. That's 4 centuries ago. 4 and change. You look it up in Google, you know, Dr. Google. All right. So listen to the language of the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi says the following. Sfir Leila Mechaber, the Mechaber holds, the Mechanica, Lava Karkafta de Gavra Mutal Mutal Chiv Lahad. Ella, I'll call echod mibnei abayis had loka bepesach abayis v'shuv ein chiyuv al shum echod mikol bnei abayis. Very close to what we call a chovas bayis. I would say it's identical. Again, he's saying leka chiyuv akarkafta de gavra. Where does he get that phrase from akarkafta de gavra? Tefillin. Right, tefillin is a classical case of a chovas hayochid am chayev as an individual. That's called like our kafta the gavra, but Chanukah is not that. But rather, the chiv is that the bnei abayis have to see to it that the pesach hachotz is equipped with an air Chanukah v'shuv ein chiv al shum echad mi bnei abayis. Therefore, he goes on to say that amtu lahachi. Again, I'm reading the Chacham Tzvi as quoted here. By another Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Reisman, he says, "Lahachi sagi b'katan sheigia lechinuch u'madlik b'pesach hachotzer." Again, if the mitzvah is to see to it, the bnei abayis have to see to it that the bayis itself, the pesach hachotzer, is equipped with an er Chanukah. They can achieve that through that luck of whom, of the katan sheigia lechinuch. Avol b'kriyas hamegila, says the Chacham Tzvi, mutal al kol echad v'echad likros. Oh, l'shma es hamegila, v'ein katan af sheigia lechinuch motzias harach. And then he gives himself a pat on the back and he says, chiluk zeh miskabel al hadas. He says a very logical chiluk.
Well, is that only because megila requires a day on mitchilah as opposed to,
you mean those tanom who say you can be yotzi with half the megillah or something?
Well, yeah, you wouldn't be yotzi with half. And
I don't think so. I think everybody agrees that megillah is a chova hamutel sakar kafta the gavra. Now the question is the sheer, how much of the megillah do you actually have to hear? That has, I don't know, 4 different shittas in tanom. But clearly everyone agrees that the mitzvah is the Kriya Samagila or the Shmiya Samagila, whatever it is. Now the Ratz Kisvi says that Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, anybody, Rashi Vavot Yeshiva, he's not alive anymore, of Panovich, comes up with the same chiddush without knowing of the Chacham Tzvi, but he adds another point. He writes, the Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, he writes, he says, Shani Chanukah mi Megillah. B'ner Chanukah ein achiv dafka al bal abayis sheyasa maisad loka biatzma el du chiv al abayis sheyudlak bo al yidei echad mi bnei abayis. So there are 2 chidushim here in Rav Shmuel that we didn't see in the Chacham Tzvi. First of all, he says that she yudlak bo al yidei echad mi bnei abayis. That's really interesting, because he's assuming that it's not anyone off the street who can equip my house with a ner Chanukah. It's got to be one of the bnei abayis. And then the second chiddush that he has here is that the chiv is she yudlak. Right, she yudlak bo al yidei echad mi bnei abayis. In other words, it's not the maisad look, but that there's a ner dol. Okay, that's also an interesting point. Then he goes on to say, why do we need in ner Chanukah katan shegiya lechinuch? And he says the answer is the ve'inon she yudlak al yidei shame hadlokas nerchan. He coins a new phrase, shame hadlokas nerchan.
He doesn't want the burning from before Hanukkah.
Right. And he says shame hadlokas nerchanukah could be achieved even with trade derabbanan. You don't need chad derabbanan. That's when you're operating with a chovas yachid that each individual is obligated onto himself, then trade derabbanan is a problem, because as a goel I have chad derabbanan and the kohen has trade derabbanan. But he says if all you need is to create what he calls a shame hadlokas nerchanukah, then even trade derabbanan is sufficient, and therefore the kohen could achieve that goal.
When he says Yerusha, does he mean to say, let's say if you forgot to light Ner Hanukkah, but you did light the Ner Shabbos, could you rename one of the
Oros? Maybe. Now Alan is asking, let's say I light two candles for Ner Shabbos, and I want to know if, let's say, for example, Kofsa Zaki, let's say according to that Shita, if my candle goes out, could I now fall back on one of the two Shabbos candles and transform it into a Hanukkah candle? A fascinating question.
That's the same point as being lit before Hanukkah.
Yeah, so that's going to be the question of maybe had Nochos a mitzvah, had Lokos a mitzvah before Hanukkah. Now he wants to answer the question of the Prima Gadim. Right? What was the Prima Gadim's question? She already accepted Shabbos, and now she's telling Tomar li acher lahadlik ner Chanukah. How could that be? After all, in Shlichus we say called Iu de lo matzi avid benafshe lo matzi acherim lo matzi shliach li avte. So he says the following. That shlichus only applies if it's a chiyuv akarkaftu degav, if it's a chovas haguf, then you have to get a shliach, and then you're bound by the restrictions of shliach. But if your obligation is to see to it that the ner, that the bayis is equipped with the ner chanukah, sheyud like the bayis ner chanukah, then he says that even though she herself has no possibility of lighting the ner chanukah because she accepted upon herself Shabbos, but by appointing someone else, not through Torah shlichus, but to set up a yudlak, a bayish she yudlak bo near Chanukah, that she can do by appointing someone else to light on her behalf. Now Rabosai, did you receive this handout which is called the Mishnas Yavitz? Okay, let me just show you what it looks like in case you received this. Who is the Mishnas Yavitz? Everybody? So, former chief rabbi of Yerushalayim? Rabbi Tzalel Zsolofkin. Okay. It's one of those classical chevronis from the old style chevron yeshiva. Today it's a little bit different, but I won't go into the because whatever I say might change your view. But the old time chevronis, my mother in her second marriage was married to an old time chevron. Chevron back in the day was purely lumbus and intellectual curiosity, and there was no shtickerai, you know, and Adarab, the Chevronists felt a responsibility towards the entire community here in Israel, and they played tremendous roles. For example, you know, I did Sahal, and my mefaked in my unit in Sahal was a Chevroner, from the old-time Chevroners that went to the army, you know. And Rav Farbstein, who was then the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, he always held that the only heter for yeshiva guys to stay in yeshiva and not to do army service was only because they were making an absolute contribution. Yom of a life, you know, every minute they took advantage of Torah learning. And that's based on a Gemara about David HaMelech and so on. That's the way they protected the Medina Sisra. So again, it was a whole different hashkaf in the old time Chevron yeshivas. So my mother's second marriage was to Rabbi Yeshua Cohen. And if you meet anyone from Shari Chesed who's in the age bracket of, let's say, 60 and above, they'll remember Rabbi Yeshua Cohen. He was the gabbai of the Shari Chesed, what they call the Litvisher part. You know, Shari Chesed has two parts. There's the Kal Hasidim which today is one of the most beautiful shuls in the whole area. They really stiffied it up. And then the Ashkenazim had the shtiblach, what they call the shtiblach. So he was the gabbai in the shtiblach.
The
Gra's
place?
The Gra, right, the Gra. And he used to say, Shir the Gra. And what I used to love about being together with him, I guess you'd call him my stepfather. My mother and him were married only 3 years, then he took sick, unfortunately. And it was always exciting when he told us stories about the Chevron Yeshiva that dated back like 90 years ago, you know, when he went to the Chevron Yeshiva. It's a whole different mentality. Did you ever hear of Reb Lazer Silva? So when Reb Lazer Silva came to Eretz Yisrael and he wanted to say a shir, so they told him there are only two yeshivas here that you can say a shir on that level. Chevron and Merkaz Harav. Those are the two yeshivas. So they say, I don't know if you know anything about the personality of Reb Lazer Silva. I mean, he didn't tolerate,
yes.
He didn't tolerate idios, you know, what he called, you know, people that he held were intellectually limited. He had zero tolerance. So when he came to Chevron Yeshiva, so in the middle of the shiur, someone had the chutzpah of asking him a kasha. So this guy was a redhead who was quite overweight. So Reb Lazer Silva said, "Do paraduma do bistu." He called him a paraduma. Anyway, yeah, you have to understand it was a different mentality back in the day. So Rabbi Tzal Zsolti has written a 3-volume work called the Mishnas Yavetz. And he has a simon here called Hider Mitzvah B'ner Chanukah, which is very obviously relevant to us. And he presents a machlokes between the Ri and the Rambam, which we're very familiar with. So I was very excited when I saw this. The Ri in Balatosa says that Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin is an either-or preposition. You can't have both. Because as soon as you multiply the number of candles with both Keneged Anshei Abayis and Keneged Yomim Anichnosim, Yod Nayotzim, then you fluke it all up. Why? Because the onlooker, the spectator, has no clue what you're talking about. You know, the numbers of candles, they reflect this, they reflect that. Is it Keneged Anshei Abayis? Is Keneged... And that's why the Shulchan Aruch, as we said earlier, paskins that we have to skip the ner, we have to skip over the ner ish, I'm sorry, the ner l'cholecha v'yech de mahadrin in favor of the mahadrin min mahadrin. Correct? A number of questions flood the mind. Why should you prefer the mahadrin min mahadrin over the mahadrin? After all, it sounds like, you know, those who want to be Mahadra the Mitzvah, they should be Makayim the Mahadrin. Amongst that group, there are people who want to go even beyond that. They become the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, but not at the expense of forfeiting the Mahadrin. So that's a big kasha. And the second kasha is why the Braisa Bichlal bothered with Mahadrin if at the end of the day Mahadrin doesn't exist. And that leads to the machlokas between the Tosa Rosh and other Rishonim. What does he do on the first night? Because on the first night, what do we have? What doesn't exist on the first night? Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, right? You can't have Mispar Yomin. So you can only light one candle. But you have 5 people living in the house. So how many candles should you light on the first night?
5.
At least that would justify the Braisa that has Mahadrin. So the Tosa Rosh says, name. Even on the first night, he only lights one candle. Why? Because otherwise, on the second night, he doesn't know what the multiple candles, the second candle is all about, third candle. It's all based on the fact that he started with one candle, representing the one night of Chanukah, and then he can go on in the second night and the third. So it comes out according to Tosa Rosh, there's no possibility of ever being Mekayim the Mahadrin if the recommended way to go is the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, which is the Shita of the Ri, and that's the Psak of the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch. So that's also a big kash. The Rambam, on the other hand, in Perek Dalim Milchus Chanukah, has both. He's got the Mahadrin, and the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. So on the first night, he lights 10 candles representing the Anshei HaBayis. On the second night, he lights 20 candles. Now, why can't he just light 11 candles on the next night and 13 candles? So the Rambam went out of his way to say, no, on the second night, he's got to light 20 candles. And on the last night, he has to light 80 candles. The Rambam's coming lafuki. And that's why the Rambam is so mirif, the possibility that maybe on the second night, he should light 11 candles. You know, just add another candle, and that candle indicates that he's gone beyond the first night. In the second night, in the third night, he lights 13 candles. So he's got keneged anshei beiso, and then he has the extra night and the extra candle. So the Rambam holds that that's not okay. It means that each candle of the Mahadrin represents, so to speak, another member of the household, and that member of the household also wants to be Mekayim, the Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, so he adds candles. So if, let's say, you have 10 members of the household, and each one wants to do the Mahadrin, then on the second night you're going to have how many candles? 20 candles, and on the eighth night you're going to have 80 candles. So that's the beginning of his honor. So there's a third paragraph that says the following. Harei mevuar, it's clear that ledas hatosfus mahadrin madlik ner lechol echad v'echad velo shayach lios mahadrin mina mahadrin. Once you mekayim the mahadrin, you forfeited the mahadrin mina mahadrin. Why? Because if he's mosif a holech mechol laila leke akera, there's no clear indication that he's fulfilling the mahadrin mina mahadrin keneged mispar yomim shiyisru, because the onlookers mistakenly conclude shekach yesh bnei odom abayis. Again, it sounds like the Tosis is assuming that you can really, in other words, it's not the same person necessarily who passes by your house on the first night who passes by on your second night. Because, you know, why did you jump from 10 candles on the first night to 20 candles on the second night? Is it that all of a sudden 20 new people, you know, every person brought in a friend into the house, you know what I'm saying, or 10 yeshiva bachurim came back from the dormitory? Well, what exactly happened? Well, let's assume, for example, that Reuven passes by your house on the first night and Shimon on the second night. Shimon has no clue what you lit on the first night. So in his mind, and every night progressively, he takes a look at the candles and he has no clue as to why, you know, the number of candles, they reflect the Anshei HaBayis, or do they reflect the Yomim, the Mispar Yomim? Uledas haRambam gam b'mahadrin shemadlik ner lechol echad v'echad shayach lios mahadrin b'mahadrin. So on the first night you light 10 candles, and then you double that on the second night, triple it on the third night, and the mosif aholech keneged ayomim is a kiyum for each one who is mekayim the mahadrin. Frekt Rav Zsolti af al pi deleka hakera. It's, he's not willing to say that the Rambam disagrees with the premise of Tosfos, that there's no Akeira. He says, Mikol Makom Shayach Lios Mahajin Mina Mahajin. So now Rav Zsolti is at a standstill, you know, at a Mavoi Satur. Why? Because logically he thinks Rambam should have agreed with the Ribal at Tosfos, that within the context of Hekera, where's the Hekera if you're also fulfilling the Mahadrin and the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin? How is the passerby going to know what this number indicates? I mean, the number doesn't reflect the night of Hanukkah that you're up to. And he's not willing to go down the path that the Rambam holds, that the onlooker could understand, and it's there is Hekera. No, there's no Hekera. So how does that work? Basically, he's asking, what is fundamentally the issue, the machlokes, between the Ri and the Ram? He wants to suggest a basic hakir. We have a universal concept of Hidur Mitzvah. And it's derived by the Gemara and Shabbos from which pasuk? Zekei Livian Vei. Talisna and Sitzisna and Sefer Torahna. Everything should be Yafe, Yafe, Yafe. It should be absolutely beautiful. Zekei Livian Vei. What about Hanukkah? Shall we assume, which again, that would be our, shall I say, our knee-jerk first response, that Hanukkah, like any other mitzvah, Zekei Livian Vehu, beautify the mitzvah. Again, classically, beautifying the mitzvah means that it's more beautiful. It's yafa. In the case of Hanukkah, it's a little bit different. It's not exactly yafa. You're talking about the mispar neros, where they reflect the anshei habayis, they reflect the yomim hayotzim. We're going to have to push that in. That's also called yafa. Secondly, you're going to have to say that even though you have here mahadrin and mahadrin min ha-mahadrin, that's also within the framework of Zekei Livian Vehu, something that we don't find anywhere. You know, it doesn't say, well, if you have a talis that's beautifully clean and has very sharp colors, you know, whatever your colors are, I see today that it became stylish, every color of the rainbow. That's not the way I was brought up, but anyway. So you beautify your talis, and that's one thing. Now you want to be mahajan, buy yourself a gold hatara. Now, how many levels are there in the gold hatara? So in my day, there were only four. That was the maximum. Today, I think they're up to eight. I don't know if they've gone beyond that. You know, they doubled the thing. So it's not good for a shver, because, you know, if you buy, you have to buy talis for your new son-in-law. So now they're doubling the price. So that's called mahajan, mina mahajan. But we don't find that. In Hanukkah, we find that. Thirdly, we never find a sugya in Shas regarding any mitzvah other than Hanukkah, which addresses the question of how to be mekayim the mahadrin. Give me the guidelines for Hidur. Not only that, in the case of Hanukkah, not only does the Braisa present guidelines, it even presents a machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. You know, we're going down to the nitty gritty details of how to fulfill mahadrin and mahadrin. So Rav Zsolti wants to suggest, in the framework of the Rambam, that Mahadrin min Mahadrin in Ner Chanukah is not what we think it is. And for that matter, even Mahadrin in Ner Chanukah is not what we think it is. We're not dealing with universal concepts of Zekei Livian Vehu. We're not going to derive from the pasuk Zekei Livian Vehu neither the Mahadrin nor Mahadrin min Mahadrin. But rather, we're talking about the Gufa Shal Mitzvah. The Chachamim, when they were Masakin Chanukah, their Takana was multi-tiered, so to speak. They allowed you to be Mekayim the nitty-gritty mitzvah, the Ikar Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, that's called Ner Yishuv Beiso, but they also formulated another mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, which is called Mahadrin. And that's a new mitzvah of Ner Chanukah that's fundamentally different than the original mitzvah of Ner Chanukah of Ner Yishuv Beiso. And they went a step further and they formulated the mitzvah of Mahadrin min ha-Mahadrin. And that too is inherent in the mitzvah of Chanukah. So it comes out like this. According to the Baalei HaTosfos, Mahadrin and Mahadrin min ha-Mahadrin is an expression of the universal principle of Zekei Livian Vehu. What enhances my mitzvah of Chanukah, according to Baalei HaTosfos? Hekera. Now I'm in a bind. Because if I achieve Hekera on the level of Mahadrin, and then I want to go ahead and achieve Hekera on the level of Mahadrin min ha-Mahadrin, I can't do so. Because if your heder mitzvah is hekera, I'm now publicizing and enhancing the publicity of the miracle. I have so many people in my house. I have so many nights of Chanukah every night. We had another miracle, you know, and, you know, the candle, the Pach HaShemen lasted from... I can't have both. And if I have to forfeit one. The Rambam, on the other hand, understood that the kium of Mahadrin and Mahadrin min Mahadrin is not something that's universal and reflects the Zekei Livian Vehu that applies to every mitzvah, but rather it's built in to the mitzvah of Chanukah. And therefore he says the following. Ulam, if you see a paragraph on the left side, of the first page that you have. Bidas haramam nira, the lomi din hider mitzvah mikra devan vehu, that the kiyum is not van vehu shenemar b'chol mitzvahs, el shu din miyuchad. Those who were with me when we had Derech HaLimud Shiur, this is a classical application of the Chakir of Din Klali Din Miyuchad. B'ner Chanukah, Shahidu miguf mitzvah shal ner Chanukah. V'haynu, shekach hoysa takonu b'mitzvahs ner Chanukah. Sheyotze gam b'ner ishu beiso, v'mahadru b'ner l'cholecha v'yecho. Imagine min ha-mahadru, yom risho madlik achas, mikar v'ilich mosif. Is therefore, according to the Rambam, this is the way they built and established the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. It's a goof, kiyum shel mitzvah Ner Chanukah. Has nothing to do with Hekera. Hekera, in terms of the onlooker, that would be relevant to Zekei Liyaveh as a universal principle. But here in the Rambam's frame of race, Shaykh Lamahadrin Umina Mahadrin, Lamosiv Holech, Afal Pidoleka Hekera, Mishum, Shemahadrin Umina Mahadrin. Okay, we'll stop here because I think it's time for Mincha, and believe me, then we'll try to wrap this up tomorrow.
You're assuming it might be one place.
Can I choke you open the door? I just want to see if there is.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Right, the Ram doesn't have it because the Ram has only one modlet. So if the Ram has only one modlet, he's lighting all the different candles. He's lighting 10 on the first night and 80 on the last night.
But still doesn't stop him lighting it in different places. Because that's a trace of
the Ram doesn't know it. The Rambam doesn't know about lighting in different places. I mean, the Rambam just simply tells you, add the number. You know, add the number on the first night and then the second.
Because I think that was Tosfos' word.
Before Shlomo, Rabbi, whenever you hear, it's very meaningful.
Rabbi.
You look, Rabbi, like you lost a little weight. Wow. I don't know if that's bad news.
Chronic picking up, they show this way.
That doesn't mean we have to go that way. There are other ways of losing weight.
It's the hard way of doing it, but it works.
Yeah. What's Akira? You used it this morning also.
Akira?
You just used it, Akira.
Hekera. Hekera. You weren't here when I wrote it on the board. I had you in mind when I wrote it on the board.
What does it mean?
Hekera means that the onlooker, the spectator, has to understand a certain message. You know? That's the Pirsim Hanes of Ner Chanukah.